Yeah, let's hear it for the band this morning. Man, how about that? Love don't die. You know, that is what we are talking about in this series. We're talking about how, as Eric said, the thermostat of our hearts is going up, 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 hopefully, and which means our love for others, the way we live our lives and love toward others is increasing by the moment, by the week, and versus our love dying. And so we're going to continue after that today. My name is Kurt, by the way. If we haven't met, it's great to have you here with us at Crosspoint. And if it's your first time with us, let me just tell you what you've walked into. First of all, you've walked into something awesome. That's what you've walked into. All right, you've walked into a church in the midst of a financial campaign. Go figure that, all right? You had no idea. That's all right. We don't begin to believe you're going to, you know, get on board with what we're talking about. So, but hopefully you'll see a bit of what this place is about. And maybe God might even show you things about who he is you've never seen before. But really, this is for those of us who have been tracking along, call this place home, who are building into this place because this place builds into you. And over this past week, man, has this been an awesome week? Anybody enjoy the last week, the app, the first Wednesday? Anybody enjoy that? Yeah, I mean, it was awesome, wasn't it? I mean, there's things, conversations I've had, things I've experienced, even places I've seen things that I had not realized before. In fact, that happened for me when I was doing some of the app work in Philippians chapter 4. I read this verse. It says, I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. And I realized, oh my word, contentment is not a secret thing. All right, it's not like we go, oh, now I understand it. No, it's this ongoing process where, you know, I say, God, I am thankful if things are good, if they're not, if I'm in abundance, if I have very little at the moment. And through this process, as I learn to go through it with that posture, I actually grow. God actually matures me. And it's a very, very methodical process. It just doesn't happen overnight. And so this is why we're in a journey, and we're looking at today the third step in a process we've been going through of getting closer and closer to funding the things God wants to continue to do above and beyond what we're already doing in our community, and also our hearts getting more and more close to God. So let me pray for us before we dive into this today. God, thank you that we can gather in this place. There's a lot of places we could be on a beautiful Sunday afternoon, Sunday morning. And God, I just pray that right now you would meet us here. Thank you that we get to be a part of what you're doing here. And God, for working and building into people's lives. God, thank you for your bold, aggressive thing that you've been doing throughout the centuries, but you're specifically doing right here. This thing you're doing where you're creating opportunities for transformation, people's lives to go in a different direction. And I just ask that you would speak to us right now, that you would form us right now, help us to see you, help us to see ourselves, and most importantly, help us to see the kingdom of God. I pray these things according to your name and your character. Amen. All right, let's all take a big deep breath. Exhale. All right, yeah, today is going to be difficult for you. All right, it's going to be difficult because I'm going to talk about some things that you are not going to hear anywhere else. You're not going to hear this from CNN, not going to hear this from MSNBC, Fox News. You're probably not even going to hear this from your financial advisor, even if they are somebody who reads the Bible regularly, because these things are core to what the message of the Bible is about, but they're also core to this thing called the kingdom of God. And so the kingdom of God is this preferred reality that God invites us into, and it's how he is taking the world as it is, which is not the way he designed it, but there's a brokenness that's taken over, and he's trying to bring it more and more back in alignment, back in operation with the way he intended it to be. And part of that is that love continues to abound. That's why we're singing about love don't die. That's what we're about. We're wanting to continue to push love forward in the way we engage with people. And this kingdom is in competition with another entity, with another kingdom that is trying to bring a hell, if you will, to this earth. And for the purposes of today, we'll call this entity the kingdom of thingdom, all right? The kingdom of thingdom. What the kingdom of thingdom is trying to do is it is trying to get you to the place where you are never content. The kingdom of thingdom wants to delude us into thinking that until I have more, I cannot be happy. And so God is inviting us into his kingdom, not the other kingdom. He's saying there's actually a way you can live that's less and less about you being caught up in all the things that the world's throwing at us and being more and more in alignment with him. And that's what we've been focusing on through this campaign. And for the most part, we've not been focusing on numbers during this game change campaign. Because if we focus on numbers too early, then, you know, we get the order all wrong. We've really been on a spiritual journey. And there is a numbers component. There is a financial component to this thing. But if we focus on numbers too early, we don't really get in tune with what God is wanting us to do and be a part of. And so this morning, I'm going to show you some of the numbers here this morning. Because if you've not attended a vision briefing or received one of these briefing documents, which we're giving out the vision briefings, you might be saying, well, what's the number? What's the number? Well, I'll show you that in a moment. But understand, you know, we're a growing church. And when things grow, the numbers get larger and larger. And so this is above and beyond, you know, our normal giving that we're going after in this initiative. And we, you know, we have a bigger operation right now. We have a larger building than, you know, we didn't have a building before. You're sitting on infrastructure right now. And if you know that or not, you're experiencing infrastructure. You know, it's warm in here right now. It's not cool like outside. You know, you're enjoying some nice coffee. This is infrastructure. Our infrastructure continues to grow. And so one of the things that, you know, the kingdom of thingdom wants us to do is it wants to plant these rumors in our minds and go, well, you know, they must be doing something wrong here. I mean, they why do they need that kind of money on top of normal operational stuff? You know, and so just be aware that's what the kingdom of thingdom does. It plants those seeds. And so if you're not, you know, aware of that, as you see some of this, you know, you're not going to be in a place to receive what maybe God has for you today. So let's take a look at this story, this documentary, and I'll tell you a little bit about what the game change is.
On March 4, 2007, Crosspoint went public in the rented cafe of Fall Creek Intermediate School right here in Fishers. Since then, we've grown tremendously, but the goal has remained the same: to create a place to invite our friends to explore questions about God without pretending that they had it all together or wading through a bunch of religious lingo. We've been experiencing this for the good part of 9 years. In fact, many of you are sitting here today because a bunch of entrepreneurial, grassrooty, city-loving, world-changing, money-investing Jesus followers believe that when we run after God, we're running in the right direction. No excuses, no safety nets, just a scrappy, strong team that's following one heavenly leader. Over the past 9 years, God has used this team to bring hundreds of people into relationship with Jesus. And we don't think he's finished using us. In fact, we think we've really only begun. You know, when we moved to the Crosspoint campus a year and a half ago, it was a great, great moment for our tribe. And yet, the goal wasn't for us just to have a nice place to meet where we didn't have to move in the toys or the equipment. It was to maximize our opportunity that God called us to and to be a blessing to our community. In fact, over the years, people have frequently asked, where's Crosspoint going anyway? And oftentimes, I'd say something like, well, you know, God only knows. In fact, in our short history, he's shown us that we're on this amazing journey of creating something that is yet to be fully seen, and we're saying things that aren't being said, and we're trusting God to do something amazing and meaningful in and through a whole bunch of imperfect people. And I'm going to be honest with you, that continues to be exciting to us. And so here we are at the start of 2016, and over this past month, our attendance has been higher than it's ever been. We're approaching 600 people in our weekend services and children's environments. We're seeing friends and coworkers and family members. We're seeing people from our neighborhoods and our community walking through our doors and experiencing the life-changing message of a God who gets down on their level and meets them exactly where they are. And why does all of this continue to happen? Well, first, it's because God is a gracious, good, good God. And honestly, we've had the privilege here at Crosspoint to have his favor on us since the very beginning. And then second, I believe it's because we've been relentless in seeking to create an environment for people to grow an intimate relationship with Jesus and meaningful relationships with others. In fact, over the past 3 years, our teammates here at Crosspoint have given over $700,000 above and beyond their normal giving to allow us to elevate our efforts by bringing freedom to our community, by building the Crosspoint campus as a place to continue to broaden our reach. And now, we believe God has even more in store. The Game Change campaign is a different kind of initiative. For the most part, it's not going to be about brick and mortar, but instead, it's about building a strong foundation for a long-term vision that will provide a pathway for sustainable change and freedom for our friends, our neighbors, and beyond. So what does this look like? The Game Change initiative is a 3-year campaign with a goal of $750,000 committed over 3 years above and beyond our normal giving. This is going to fuel 4 initiatives that will enhance current ministries to optimum impact, and it's going to resource ministry beyond our walls at the highest level ever in the history of Crosspoint. Let me show you what this is going to look like. The first initiative is ongoing operations. It takes a lot of resources to fund the ongoing work of the church. Game Change will help continue to fuel the ongoing ministry, physical space, as well as supplement our mortgage and building needs as we strive to maximize our impact through the other elements of the Game Change campaign. The second key initiative is ministry expansion. One of the things we know is that sustainable change requires strong foundations. Progress requires infrastructure, and infrastructure provides pathways for sustainable growth and development. Through increasing key ministry staffing, we will expand our ability to serve and reach our community. This includes additional staffing support in kids and student environments, hospitality care and small group ministries, creative and worship staffing, as well as a new role with local and global mission initiatives. Each of these will allow us to broaden our ministry reach in our community, as well as better equip those who call Crosspoint home. The reality is, without sustainable infrastructure, we do not reach our full redemptive potential. The third initiative is building upgrades and improvements. The most common way people are introduced to Crosspoint is through our weekend services and kids' environments. Game Change will allow us to make necessary upgrades to be more guest-friendly. This initiative includes improving security, accessibility, and theming in kids' environments, making the commons a more attractive space for connection and fellowship, improving some sound challenges we have in the venue so we can be better neighbors, as well as improving interior and exterior signage. These investments will help us make the Crosspoint experience more guest and user-friendly for our friends, neighbors, and community, all the more opening up opportunities for life change. The fourth area is new initiatives. Each year, we mobilize hundreds of people in serving our community through things like school uniforms, providing Spread Some Cheer Christmas meal boxes, the Angel Tree Christmas gifts, as well as building into those in poverty and mentoring students. We want to do more in our Go Local initiatives, and Game Change will fuel that. Maybe you've heard of mission trips. We want to provide opportunities for people to go on short-term mission trips throughout the world with our missional partners because we believe that something unique happens when you leave the familiar surroundings and serve others on a distant soil, ultimately creating life change on both sides of the ocean. We build our current space with the intention of multiplying our efforts by providing multiple worship services. The Game Change initiative will provide a pathway to continue to reach our friends and neighbors in our current services and eventually being able to add a third weekend service option. Additionally, we're excited to add a first Wednesday worship service, a service designed to take current teammates to the next level in deeper worship, teaching, and challenge in what it means to follow Jesus. And last, we'll begin research and development on a longer-term strategy that will allow us to take Crosspoint to additional cities where our friends and neighbors live in future years. That way, people can spend more time connecting with each other and with God, and less time driving or just not going to church at all. As you can see, this is a God-sized stretch that represents game-changing faith. It's not some puny goal, nor is it a pie-in-the-sky initiative. It's all of us giving prayerful consideration to how we can partner with God in expanding the kingdom through Crosspoint. I'm praying that each and every one of us will seek the heart of God as we go through the Game Change campaign. I want our hearts to beat with the things that God's heart beats after. I'm praying that we would consider what God is asking each of us to sacrifice. A sacrifice is where we give up what is temporary so that others receive what is timeless. A sacrifice is giving up something we love for something we love more. A sacrifice is something that will expand our capacity in ministry here at Crosspoint, and it's going to impact the lives of people for generations to come who are not currently connected to Christ. I believe that God wants to use every single one of us. So I want to ask you to do four things as we go through these next 6 weeks. Number one, I want to ask you to listen. I want to ask you to be diligent in attending weekend services and to participate in a Life Together group. If you're not in a group, it's a great time to get in one. And during that time, I want to ask you to simply be open to what God is doing and what God is saying to you. Don't worry about figuring it all out at once. He'll make it clear in the right time. Number two, process. As you receive information and biblical truths over these next weeks, this will be the foundation that God will use to prepare you for what he's asking. Third, I want to ask you to pray. Will you pray for Crosspoint and then simply ask God, what does this mean for me? God, how might you desire for me to accomplish your vision through what you've entrusted to me and have a positive impact in our community? And then number four, on March 13th, I'll be asking every individual and every family at Crosspoint to consider making a 3-year financial commitment above and beyond your normal giving to the Game Change campaign. And as a part of that, I want to ask you to bring a first fruits offering on March 13th so we can hit the ground running. As you can see, we've got a lot of potential and opportunity, and it's going to require hundreds of us sacrificing above and beyond for a long-term vision of investing in the freedom of our friends, our neighbors, and our community. But here's the best part of it all. You and I are going to get a front row seat to see God move in us and through us, and that's exciting. I hope you'll join us in the journey.
Yes, you know what's really cool about this is, our campaigns up to this point have been about raising this place physically, and now we're in something where we're talking about how do we create the infrastructure to continue to create life chains and optimize what's happening out of this place. Really cool stuff. And I forgot to tell you, this is the coolest thing. God's already provided all the cash for this. Did you know that? We've got it all. Can't believe I forgot to tell you that. You know where it is? It's in your pocket. That's where it is. It's in all of our pockets. It's right here. All right, it's right here. He's already provided all of it. And so this is why we're in this process of this kind of 3-step process of surrender. We talked about a few weeks ago where I bring everything on the table, everything out of my pockets. I put it on the table. Say, God, everything I have, you've given to me. It's a moment of spiritual sanity where I realize I don't own anything. I manage what God has blessed me with. And there's times where when I am in a posture of surrender, open-handed, God might say, man, I want to give you more. There might be moments where God says, okay, I'm going to take this back and redirect it in a different direction. And here's the thing. I know some of us, with the community this large, we've not all put everything on the table. Some of us, we're hiding things in our pockets. You know, we're maybe putting stuff under the table. The Bible talks about this kind of stuff. You know what it refers to it as? It's called an idol. That's what it's called. Does anything in your life that you feel like I can never part with, I can't say, okay, God, open-handed with it? He says, that's an idol. That's the object of your worship, all right? So number one step is to surrender, take everything out of my pockets, put it on the table, say, God, hey, it's all yours. You just direct me as to what's next with everything. Second step is listening, where I said, God, this is everything you've allowed me to enjoy, my vacations, my savings and checking account, my cars, my family, my tech gadgets, my house. You know, my house is came from you as well. What would you like back? Is there any that you want to redirect a different direction? Do you want, you know, anything that you're, you know, that maybe you want to, that you say, hey, just keep enjoying it the way you are? Anything you want to cease for a short time so you can redirect, I can redirect those initiatives or funds toward other directions? And so we listen, and then it's really cool because as we've been listening, it's amazing how when this stuff all goes on the table, how much easier it is to sense God's nudgings. Because all this isn't a distraction to us hearing from God. It's crazy. And then today we're going to talk about doing it. Whatever God says to us, that we actually walk it out and we do what it is he's asking us to be. And let me tell you something. You know, the rumors that you're going to begin to hear from the kingdom of thingdom, the whispers in engaging on a journey like this, you're going to begin to hear, you know, whispers of, oh, man, the church, no church needs money like that. I mean, church is just people. It's just time. Yeah, it is people. It is time. It's also money. It's also money. And you're going to hear rumors, you know, and you're like, all they ever talk about is, well, Jesus talked about money all the time. You know, and so the rumors are plentiful. They have been since the day one, since the 9 years ago when we started, which, by the way, did you realize today is our birthday? Happy birthday. Crosspoint's birthday, yeah. Happy birthday. You realize for 9 years, the rumors have been plentiful about our God. You know, the enemy's always creating rumors. And so, you know, if you're looking for a reason not to engage with this, you know, to not surrender, go through this process, you're going to find it. You will. All right, if you're looking for a reason to be cynical and just be like, ah, you know, there must be mismanaging something here, you know, you are going to find it. The kingdom of thingdom is constantly trying to interrupt any engagement when we begin to go through a process and say, you know, I may not need some of this. This is all blessing, by the way. All right, most everything on this table outside of food, there's no food on here. There's no basic clothing on here. Everything else is extra, all right? Everything else is extra. And this is not a new issue for us to struggle with this. Jesus, back in the first century, people were dealing with the same thing. You know, this idea of having a difficult time, you know, separating ourselves from the stuff we think we own. In fact, he talked about it. It's a human thing. And so we're going to look at Luke 12 for the rest of our time. This is one of Jesus' teachings. He's in the middle of this fantastic teaching. It's like the red letter part of the Bible, which is, you know, if you have a printed Bible, it's where the words are in red because Jesus is, you know, just continually instructing and teaching. And all of a sudden, he gets interrupted in the midst of this teaching, and somebody asks him a question. Here's what it says. So someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me judge or arbitrator over you?" It's like, I always want to go ghetto when I go right there. I think it's the man. "Man," you know. It's like, he's like, "Who made me judge?" And he said to him, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." So basically says, hey, what defines you, hopefully is not all the things on the table. And he mentions inheritance. Have you ever noticed inheritance squabbles? You know what's at the root of inheritance squabbles if you've ever been in one? It's a lack of contentment. It's a lack of being content with what I currently have and being like, oh, I gotta go after more. That's what it is. And so this guy is a guy who's apparently an upstanding Jew. He's in Jesus' broader circle, people who are following him, which is what it meant to be a disciple. And so he's going from place to place with Jesus, sitting under his teachings, and yet he's not really a spiritual person, right? Because he is a greedy person. What is greed? Greed is when I have this ongoing thirst for more. Greed can, you know, this whole idea of covetousness is when I need something else before I can get to the place of being happy. And so, you know, it's interesting because I've done a lot of pastoral counseling over the years. 20 years of ministry, I've heard a lot of stuff. People confessed a lot of stuff. You know, I've never had somebody confess to me. I've never had somebody come in and talk to me and say, "Kurt, the other thing I want to talk to you about is, man, I have a problem with greed." Nobody's ever said that to me. Have you ever noticed greed is always the thing that it's somebody else's issue, right? Oh, man, corporate America, man, the people above me, man, they are greedy, right? Or, you know, Wall Street, man, they are greedy. You know, my neighbor who's got all the toys, you know, the ones that I want, man, he's greedy. He's got, you know, he's always going after more, always has. It's always somebody else's issue, right? This is what the kingdom of thingdom does. It always, kingdom of thingdom makes us think, man, I don't have an issue, but it also makes us think, it deludes us into thinking that until I get something else, I'm not going to be happy. So Jesus gives three ideas on this. He continues in this story, and he tells three ideas. It says, he told them a parable, saying, "The land of the rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.' And he said, 'I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry, and play Xbox.' But God said to him, 'You fool, fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Jesus is like, oh my word, here we go again. Again, we're dealing with money again. Dude asked a question and I've got to answer the money question. See, this is interesting. Jesus talked about money more than anything else. Why? Because money was the thing that always stood as a barrier between us and the kingdom of God going forward. Always. That's why Jesus talked about it all the time. If you're going to be around Jesus, you got to get used to dealing with your stuff and money. Because he talked about it all the time. It was his number one teaching topic. Because money, our stuff, is an affront to contentment, and it determines whether we are a part of helping the kingdom of God go forward. Always. So in this story, Jesus gives us three things. First one is this. What I do, what you do, describes you. What you do describes you. What you do defines you. All right? In this sense, this is a guy who's building and amassing bigger and bigger barns. All right, he's hoarding things that he never plans to use. And this describes him. Let's be really clear. Our beliefs don't describe us. All right, people are always like, well, I believe, great. Well, show it to me. All right. You know, how loud we sing in the front row of church doesn't describe us, right? Your emotions, you know, people are like, I just love Jesus so much. Great, awesome. You know, it's nothing, that's great. That doesn't define you though. What you do, What you do describes you. It tells you who I am. Jesus, that's why he talked about it. He said, you know, you can't really tell a tree when it's coming up out of the ground. If you didn't plant it, you can't tell what kind of tree that is until you begin to see the fruit that comes out of it. Because he said, you know, the deeds, the actions of someone are a direct mirror of their heart. The fruit that comes out tells you what kind of tree it is. And I tell you what, when you begin to change your view of money, when you begin to get to this place of seeing everything on the table is not mine, this is God, what God's allowed me to enjoy, and I hold it very open-handedly, when we begin to take that posture, it's a game-change moment. I tell you what, I was talking to some people coming out of that have been in Financial Peace University these past 5 or 6 weeks, and man, they are excited. You know why? Because they're getting God's picture for how to use their money and their finances. And this is even like have an impact on marriages, things that used to be fought over. Couples are now really excited about because they realize their potential because there's been a mind shift. It's been a game change moment when they realize everything I have is God's. It's God's. And it's awesome. It's awesome. You know, over the years, Julie and I, you know, we've not really had many financial goals. The one we do have is our giving. We that's the thing we talk about together periodically about. It's the thing we talk with our kids about, our giving goal. We don't really have financial goals for savings. We talk about that some. I mean, a family of six, we're like, okay, what's an appropriate level of savings? We don't have financial goals on how much we need to be making. Financial goals are fine, but for us, the number one thing we have a goal with financially is how much we give. Because we know this changes things, all right? And as an example, every time we go through one of these campaigns and we go through the process of surrender and hearing from God, you know, and then doing what God has asked us to do, just being faithful, when God says, hey, here's what your role is, we just go out and do it. You know what this allowed us to do? I just realized this week, we give over 1.5 times our monthly mortgage mainly to Crosspoint. Outside of ourselves, and because we've gone through this process, and you can do it too. All right, maybe not that amount. Maybe it's something different. And listen, don't. Some of you are like, oh, I wonder what Kurt gives. Don't. I'm not telling you that to figure it out. Listen, I have problems. All right, I have lots of problems. I'm screwed up. I am not the model poster child on that. I'm just trying to show you, as one person among many that is being open to what God is wanting us to do. I'm not. We're not necessarily falling in line with the kingdom of thingdom and saying we have to do what every mindless citizen of that kingdom's doing. All right, we don't take every commercial or media outlet's advice to heart. All right, what we do, it actually describes us. Second thing we see here, how you keep score drives you. How you keep score drives you. See, this guy here is keeping score based on how much he has that he's not using. All right, all of us have a scorecard. Whether you knew it or not, you have a scorecard. You have a scorecard that dictates the things that your life is about. Now, it may not be a financial scorecard, but we all have a scorecard. We have some kind of internal mechanism that tells us if we're good or bad. We have an internal mechanism that tells us if we're sufficient or insufficient. We have an internal mechanism that says, you know, I'm accepted or I'm not accepted, or I'm liked by God or not liked by God. We all have a scorecard. Now, you might have morality as your scorecard. If morality is your scorecard, you have a list of things. You're like, oh, I want to do more of the do's and less of the don'ts, all right, because that's your scorecard, and you keep gauge of your life and everybody else's life based on that morality card, all right? And you probably do things that aren't moral. You just don't add it to your scorecard. You're like, oh, I can get away with it because I don't keep score with that one. You know, maybe religiosity is your scorecard, and you're like, oh, how many times I got to be in church, you know? And, you know, whatever it is. I mean, if fashion is your scorecard, then you probably say things like, man, my goal is socially to never have somebody see me in the same outfit twice, right? You know why you do that? It's your scorecard. Because that's important. Fashion is important to you. You'll see a friend, and you'll be like, did you see her? My word. I think she just wore that last week. You could say that about me every week, all right? I have like 5 things I wear for the most part, all right? But that's your scorecard. You know, working out is your scorecard. You're like, did I go to the gym 4 times this week? Because that's your scorecard. We all have a scorecard. It's the way we drive our behavior. Scorecard drives our behavior. This guy here in this story, he has a scorecard based on how much he's accumulating around him that he's not using. And if you look at this guy, he's basically a practical atheist. That's what he is. Take a look at verse 17. It says, he thought to himself, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. I mean, he's basically saying, hey, my cars, my checking account, my family, my, you know, vacation that I get to go enjoy, my house, this is my tech gadgets, my MacBook Pro, this is mine, right? This is my stuff. He says, God, you're out of the equation. This is me, myself, and Irene, right? Eileen. Me, myself. Anyway, he's saying, this is me, my, and my. It's all mine. God, you're out of the equation. You know, that's practical atheist. That's what he's doing. God, you're not a part of this. This is how he's functioning right here. See, Julian, we struggle with this, Julian and I. We, you know, when it comes to our savings has grown a little bit over the years. But you know, it's interesting. Have you ever noticed how savings, whatever you like have, you feel like then you need to have more? Have you ever noticed that? The scorecard on your savings is always changing. Like, at one point we didn't have a savings, and then we did. And then at the last campaign, during the launch campaign, we just felt like God said we need to relinquish all of it. So we did. We pretty much cashed all of our cash. Not our retirement, but our physical cash. And I think we had $10 in our account. And that's just what we felt like God wanted us, Julie and Kurt, to do. Now, you know, we've built up our savings. We thought, well, it's good to have an emergency fund, and it is. It's good to have an emergency fund for car expense or, you know, some big medical bills, something like that. And then it's like, well, you know, maybe we should have, like, you know, enough for some pretty large purchases set aside in case something hits. And then it's like you hit that, and then you're like, well, gosh, having 4 months operating income would be really nice. The scorecard constantly changes. It's like the new minimum is always going up. And it's really fascinating because one of the things we're going to do during this campaign, we've actually already done it, just did it yesterday, is we're giving a chunk of our savings, a good chunk of our savings. And that's what we felt like God asked us to do. This time he didn't say all of it, all right? But part of why we're doing that is to eliminate some of, see, here's what we do. I look at our savings, and I'm like, oh, that makes me feel pretty good, pretty secure. And I don't like that. I don't like that numbers in an account make me feel better about myself. And so part of why we're releasing some of that is to say we don't want to keep score by that. God's keeping us in a mode where, yeah, we have some set aside, but he's keeping us in a mode of dependence. See, I get jealous when I hear people say, yeah, God, man, he gave us a number. You know, married people gave you a number, and we came together, and it's the same number, and man, that was awesome. That is awesome if you've had that. We heard that last weekend. Phenomenal. But Julian, I've never experienced that. Right, we haven't necessarily experienced that. He did tell us a number of years ago, 10%, bare minimum what you need to give. And so we've been doing that ever since. But, you know, when we go through this process, it's constantly saying, okay, God, what on the table have we enjoyed that may need to come back to you? What on the table, you know, do we need to give up for a season? 6 years ago when we did the crazy campaign, we gave up cable. That's what God said. We give up cable, $120 a month. Basically, I felt like I didn't need the Playboy channel anymore. I thought, hey, just give it up. Just kidding. Man, are you guys out there today? Listen, I will do anything to bring some humor this morning, all right? Because I'm trying to help you release your sphincter, all right? Your sphincter is like, oh, man. You know, it's getting really sore right now because you're holding, the kingdom of fingdom is crumbling before you right now, all right? So I'll do anything to bring a little humor in here this morning. So we gave up cable, which for me meant giving up ESPN, Monday Night Football, for my wife, HGTV, you know, for the kids, HGTV, Disney Channel, all those things. And we just said, well, that, you know, we're redirecting that. That we're going to continue to do that. We said, God, is that back on the table? Something we now get to enjoy because the last campaign's coming to a close. Nope, still on the table, part of our commitment. We give up eating out so many times a month, which for a family of six adds up real quick. That was a part of our commitment, still on the table. But we said, you know, God is, there's more on our table. So God said, well, there's more I want you to do. And so one of the things we recently did is refinance our house. We had a decent savings in refinancing. Some of it, our furnace went out right away then. So some of it went back to, you know, financing a furnace. But we, one of the things God's led us to is saying, hey, the difference there, I want you to bring that. I want that. That's what you're bringing. Now, we had other ideas for that. We had some other things we wanted to do. But that's a part of what we're doing. Because, see, we want to keep a different scorecard that drives different behavior than just what the rest of the kingdom of fingdom does. Now, why am I telling you this? Well, two reasons, really. First and foremost, because as a leader of Crosspoint, I know that, you know, on this weekend, the weekend before commitment weekend, every time we go through one of these, I go first. See, I'm not going to ask you to do something that I'm not already doing. Julie and I have not already gone ahead and done. And so, you know, we filled this out yesterday. In fact, I did it online. I mean, I did the digital version. But we already made our commitment, made our first fruits gift. Our leaders this weekend, our leadership at Crosspoint, people in leadership roles, it's not just about being a leader. With leadership comes additional accountability, responsibility. Our leaders this weekend are bringing their commitment cards and their first fruits offering. A week ahead, not lead gifts, not leading gifts to make sure we're going to be okay. They're bringing advanced gifts because leaders go first. That's what leaders do. Leaders lead by going first. And so we will never ask you to do something we haven't already done. That's part of why I'm telling you this. The other reason I'm telling you this is, you know, do you know what the most heinous rumor is out there? That the kingdom begins planting in people's minds every time we do one of these? Happens all the time. It's this. It's that Crosspoint is underwritten by really, really rich people. Really, really rich people. There's just this fat cats, you know, that just fund this whole place. And listen, that has never been the case. Never. I even had somebody put a name to it a few months ago. Say, Kurt, this person I know was driving Crosspoint. I looked at them. I said, you are on crack. You have no, I've never even heard of that person. They've never given a dime here. And I would know if that kind of lead gift came. I would know it. It's not happening. You're on crack. I don't know what you're smoking. But man, enjoy it. You're on your own. All right? It doesn't happen that way. You know why that's such a heinous rumor? Because it devalidates the very nature and core of who God is. It devalidates it. God has always worked through average people. Average people just being the hands and feet of Jesus. He's always done that. Thousands of years ago, he's been doing that since Crosspoint started. And so when we delude ourselves into thinking, oh man, only the really, really wealthy or those who have big gifts. No. It's all of us. Because see, we begin to think, well, what I have, God's put on my heart must not be needed. No. See, it's not about the numbers. It's about what God is calling us to and whether or not we're faithful in doing it. I know when I talk about savings, you know, this is something you might think, well, I don't have a savings, Kurt. I know. You know, some of us don't. We don't have a very large one. You know, but you might say, I don't have a savings to come out of. Well, that doesn't mean you don't have stuff on the table. You know, just this year, 2016, a month ago, it was released that 5.6% of our income last year went to entertainment alone based on a $50,000 income. 5.6% goes to Netflix, goes to cable, goes to, you know, on-demand, concert tickets, sporting events. And you know, we may not have a savings, but we still, that doesn't mean we don't have something to bring. It just means if all of that is going to us, going into my benefit, it means I'm hoarding it all. It means none of it's going anywhere else. So I'm hoarding it. See, wherever our money goes, it creates a reward. And in fact, this is the third thing I want us to see. Where we allocate rewards us. Where you allocate rewards you. Which means if you're allocating to the gym, then there's a reward that comes from that. It means if you're allocating to fashion, there's a reward that comes with that. If you're allocating to, you know, this or that, whatever it is, there's always a reward. And Jesus is talking about the insanity of this man in the story, building bigger barns and the insanity of that being the scorecard. I remember when we built Crosspoint, when we were doing the architectural process here at Crosspoint, our architects were like, man, you guys need more closets, man. You need way more storage. And I said, seriously, we do not. You know what we need to do? We need to get rid of a bunch of crap. That's what we need to do. We don't need to store more stuff. You know, we need to deploy it and let it be used. That's what it's for, not to store. So Jesus, he talks about all this stuff, and then he comes back and starts talking about the birds again. The birds. He's like, oh, look at the birds. And he said, they have the basics. Here's what he says in verse 32. Fear not, little flock. He's talking about the birds, but equating we're like the flock. Fear not, little flock, for isn't it your father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom? Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will be your heart. Also, it says where you allocate rewards you. Where you put your money rewards you with something. And it might have a short shelf life. It might have a long shelf life. But he says there, the things of the short shelf life don't last. The things with the long shelf life will be there forever. Right now, if you drove here today, you've got a car sitting in the parking lot that is rusting as you sit in here. It is. All right, oxidation process is taking place. You don't have to run out there and check on it. It's fine. All right, it's been happening all day. All right, you didn't even know it. But it's rusting. You know, that car is a very, very short shelf life. All right, and it's one of the things. See, the things of the kingdom, you know, have a very short shelf life. And Jesus says you can spend and allocate on the things of the short shelf life. You can spend and allocate on the things that will pay off in the next life. For Julie and I, we have a lot of stuff that has a very short shelf life. We get the rewards every day from it, our house. You know, things we enjoy. These are God's rewards that come back to us right now. But we also have many, many rewards that are going to be coming in the next life on the other side of this kingdom. They're going to come because they're rewards that are eternal. And I know some of us, I know a lot of us probably in this community, you know, we were hit by the recession a few years ago. And, you know, we're maybe still feeling the effects of that. I was talking to somebody the other day that still hasn't found a job. I mean, they were downsized. I know many of us, you know, we were the effects of a cut, you know, maybe a 40, 30, 40% cut in our salary or, you know, our investments, our savings took a hit. We're still not making any money on our savings. And I know that's out there. I know some of us have been hit by that, and we don't know if another one's coming. There's a question of if 2016, another one's coming. And yet, here's what's interesting. For every person that was physically impacted and in a hard place because of the recession, multiples of us were emotionally impacted. What do I mean by that? I mean, you may not have had to change your lifestyle at all. Your salary hasn't decreased. Your lifestyle hasn't decreased. But you took an emotional hit. And it's bummed you out, and you're never going to hear this on CNN, you're never going to hear this on MSNBC or Fox News or your financial advisor, or most of them at least, but would you consider this? Would you consider that if you took a 40% loss in your investments or your long-term savings or, you know, whatever it might be, could it be that you had too large of a barn and it just rotted? I mean, could it be that savings has a short shelf life? You know, it's ridiculous, this guy building bigger and bigger barns. Why? Not just because the seed in there is not doing its work to go out and produce a greater harvest, but it's because it has a short shelf life. It's going to rot. See, Jesus came in an agrarian culture. That's why he talked in agrarian terms. I think if he came today, he'd be talking digits. He'd be talking, you know, in a digital culture because that's how we operate. I think the insanity of us emotionally getting bummed out, you know, because of a sheet of paper that has a few less digits on it. It's something that's not affected our lifestyle for most of us. You know, we still have the same lifestyle, same income, and yet we feel a little less secure because there's less digits on a piece of paper. I think Jesus would be like, man, that's insane. I just want to ask you to consider, maybe if you're impacted by that, maybe your barns were just too filled. And God said, man, I had that earmarked for something else, but you just caught up in being prey to this story. When you came in this morning, you received some Confederate currency. I want you to go ahead and take out your Confederate currency. This is actually replica Confederate currency, just so we're not going to jail or anything. You know, you know what's interesting about this is, you know, if you were in the Southern Kingdom back in the Civil War, and it was very, very clear that your kingdom was just about to come to a close. I mean, your kingdom was about to go under. You know, Sherman was on his way. I mean, he's coming closer and closer to your village. He's taking over towns as he's taking the territory. And, you know, and it's very clear that the South is going to lose. What would be the wise thing to do with your Confederate currency? You know, the wise thing would do would be to put enough away to take care of short-term needs and maybe a little for long-term dreams, and then to transfer the rest into something that's going to work in the next kingdom. You know, maybe gold, maybe real estate. That was all going to work when the North, you know, took over and a new kingdom was created. Because you realize you're on borrowed time, right? You realize, man, this isn't going to last forever. In your wallet, in your purse, go ahead and take it out, right? Don't worry. Release your sphincter again. I'm not asking you to do anything, you give anything right now. Just take it out. You know, take out some of the real currency we use. You know, look at it. It's interesting. You know what it says on every single bill? It says in the back, in God we trust. I really believe that. In God we trust. You know why I believe that? Because this is the God of our culture right here. In this God we trust. This is the God we go after all the time. This is the thing right here that we're always working after. This is the thing we're about. And you know what's interesting? The difference between this currency and this currency is absolutely nothing. Nothing. See, this currency is going to be like Confederate currency when we get to the next kingdom. It's not going to work. It's going to be useless. And at the last I checked, the death rate's like 100% plus or minus, right? I mean, I'm not trying to be morbid. I just, maybe a few days for some of us, might be a week, a month, 10 years, 40, 60 years for others of us. I mean, church size, I mean, I'm not trying to be morbid at all. I'm just saying at some point, this is not going to be worth anything. And so if this is parked in a barn just to make me feel better, a little more secure, it's not going to work. Not going to work. So every time this week, I want you to put your Confederate currency, I want you to go ahead and fold it, put it in your wallet, in your pocket. Just put it where your normal currency is that you use. And every time you make a spending decision this week, I just want you to be reminded of, hey, what I'm using, great, God's given this to me, but man, even what I'm spending is not going to last. At some point, it's going to be just like this useless Confederate currency. All right, we are in a spiritual journey. We're in a spiritual journey, and we're putting things in front of us to grow us, to challenge us. Currency being one of them. And, on your connection card are some next steps. Go ahead and take that out. And, if you've been tracking along, they're kind of the same things. I want to encourage you to do your homework this week. It's going to be awesome homework this week. In fact, if you're married, there is a prompt that you need to complete as a couple. All right, a prompt that will get you on the same page, hopefully, help you process together. Make sure you get into your groups this week. Next weekend is commitment weekend. Next weekend, we are using these envelopes to make our commitments. Our first fruit offerings can go inside, or you can use the digital card online in the app. You can make commitments there. You can make gifts online. If you're not going to be here, be a part of next weekend. It's going to be awesome. You know, if you're not going to be here, make your commitment ahead of time. Our leaders are already doing that. And here's the thing. Next weekend, we'll know. I mean, the thermometer is getting inserted next week, all right? It's going up the rectum. We're going to figure out how hot we are, how much our temperature has been raised for the way we're loving and have a burden for our community and creating spiritual freedom. So let's get after this. We're going to sing a song. That's a stand. Let's go and stand. And we're going to wrap this thing up by just saying, God, bring your kingdom. We want to see more and more of your kingdom. And so let's let God build this into us right now.